Welcome to the Working Within podcast, a podcast dedicated to your spiritual growth, well-being, and awareness. I'm Charlene, your favorite wellness podcaster, Scorpio, and Gemini. Keep listening if you're looking for an extra supplement to help you reflect on your relationship with yourself and others, or keep you inspired and fearless about the possibilities for your own life. This season, you can look forward to topics like self-esteem, body consciousness, astrology and daily life, empowerment, law of attraction, and so much more. All with the goal of keeping you inspired and in the know. For more information, you can always connect with us at the Working Within Instagram or our website, workingwithin.net, to see our service offerings. Thank you all for your reviews, likes, and shares. And if you'd like to become a monthly supporter, you can click the link in our episode description. We look forward to building a community with you. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Working Within podcast. Obviously, I'm excited. I don't even need to say it, but of course, I'm saying it again. So appreciative of all you listeners for tuning in to geek out over these really introspective internal topics that I force all the guests on my show to talk about with me. But this week, I hope the tone is maybe a little different because we're talking about woman in entrepreneurship. I'm talking with a great friend of mine, Olivia Kaplan, who is literally a creative entrepreneurial genius, innovative thinker, like big aqua energy, obviously. Someone who actually inspired me to become more business-minded with the way I ran Working Within. It's been really exciting to learn from her, even as she is still like finishing her own college experience. So in this conversation with Olivia, we dive into actualizing your destiny and your path, thinking about, you know, putting your needs in front of those of an institution, being really decisive and entrepreneurial in your pursuits and not being afraid of kind of dipping into that more masculine energy that helps you get things done and know what you want for yourself and not be afraid of those actions. So Olivia, every time I talk to her, I learn something. I'm sure you all learn something when you listen to us talk and her great insights. She is really on it about cutting through this fog and the projections we get as a society about what success looks like. Actually create and think about what success means to you. And that's something I've learned from Olivia as well, and just how to continue like carrying my vision forward, like what that actually requires about me and how I believe in myself. So Olivia is awesome. I hope for all of you who are considering just taking risks, doing something for yourself, it doesn't have to be full entrepreneurship, but that you can learn something about being self-efficient and just continually inspired and motivated to pursue your dream, not your school's dream, not your parents' dream, before anyone else. And so I guess now it's time for y'all to listen to the conversation Olivia and I had. And if you want to keep the conversation going, do not hesitate to reach out to either of us. I'm so excited to have the guest we have this week on Working Within. I don't want to speak too much because I want her to introduce herself, but just know this person is literally like ahead of the game in every way, has her own business, has me thinking about new ways to do things all the time, is just downright inspiring, powerful woman. So, Olivia, could you please introduce yourself to the Working Within audience?
That was such a kind intro, but no, thank you so much. But yeah, I'm Olivia Kaplan. I guess professionally, I'm really into social impact. So, you know, to that end, I started a social impact focused consulting company where students work with different nonprofits and companies that are interested in doing good in the world. And we work with clients from all over the world. And, you know, other than that, though, I am still a full-time college student. So I go to WashU in St. Louis, and I am very interested in a lot of different things. So I guess it's not only my own company, but I'm also interested in pursuing other areas of life. So tech, real estate, kind of doing a lot of different things and always growing. So that's, yeah, I guess that's sort of my intro.
Oh my gosh. Exactly like I said, WashU student, Kuliana at the same time, real estate. Yeah, exactly. Olivia's also the person that was like, bro, crypto. And I was like, really? And she was like, really?
Real, I'm serious, crypto. I say that to everybody, but it's true.
I'm literally so grateful for that because, yeah, you're right. Okay, well, podcast listeners, this week we will be talking about being a powerful woman, not being afraid of that. There's so many messages and maybe things internalized by women in the Western world, definitely, about not being able to, you know, do those more masculine things of starting a business or feeling like you can achieve your goals and like really being determined about those things. Those are all some of the topics that I think we're going to talk about today under the simple title Powerhouse Woman. Does that sound good?
I love it. It's amazing.
Okay. Olivia, first question for you. Well, let's tell the podcasters how we met, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I graduated WashU last, whatever, 20, doesn't matter. Anyway, I graduated and I came back for this panel that was being run by the business fraternities, and it was about women leadership and doing impactful work. And I had never met Olivia until this panel that we were both speaking on. So, and then Olivia's like saying all these amazing things. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this person, I need to know them. And then I don't even know. I think I like stalked her a little bit or like was like texting her during the panel, I think.
Oh, no, it was great. You like private messaged me. You're like, oh my God, we need to be friends. And like you sent me your number. I was like so excited because I had heard about you actually from one of my friends. And I had such a friend crush on you. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is meant to be. You know, the universe is conspiring to help us.
No, it literally, it Miss Universe literally is like 5 years from now or even three. I don't even know. But that's how we met. So it feels only appropriate to continue that type of discussion today. Okay, let's dive into the entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the Kuleana story? And even if it doesn't center Kuleana, just how you figured out you wanted to work for yourself, or what the moment was that made you realize, I'm working toward a life where I work for myself.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's interesting that you kind of pinpointed as like, is there this moment that I had this idea? And like, to be honest, there wasn't. I had, I'd grown up, you know, my family has a lot of entrepreneurs in it. So I was sort of aware that that was an option. And I guess I always saw that as something that I knew I could do if I was interested, but I'd never really had something that I was super passionate about, that I knew like, okay, this is a project I could devote tons of time to. And so I always had known in the back of my mind, I want to start a business one day, but I really had no direction on what I thought that might be. So sort of in pursuit of that, I tried a lot of different things. I've always been really passionate about social impact. So I did a lot of internships in that area. I've also been interested in business. So I did work in that as well. And then I think it was just after the semester where the COVID pandemic had hit and we'd all got home. And I was in Florida with my grandma. I kind of got stranded there and I didn't have too much to do. One of my professors, a program manager for about 50 or so interns at WashU who had been doing this consulting project for local businesses that were struggling because of COVID. And I was doing that and really loving it. And I thought, you know, we did all these public presentations that were really helpful to the community. And I'm like, wow, this is so cool. Like students can really provide some value. You know, everyone who was working there got a lot of great experience. And then from that, I was like, oh, why don't I just keep doing this sort of like pro bono project-based stuff for the summer. Mm. So that was sort of how it started out. I was just like, oh, I'd love to do more of this. And I'd love to switch the focus from general small businesses to really businesses that are having a lot of positive impact on their communities. So, you know, sometimes this would actually be more of a nonprofit and we'd help them figure out ways to be more financially sustainable. Sometimes this would be, you know, a social enterprise where it was a business, but they had some sort of social impact focus.
Wow.
And yeah. So it was really cool. And it started out just, you know, all pro bono. We had probably 40 or so students working with us. I think it was like 11 different countries over the summer.
What?
Yeah, it was really cool because it was a very global team. I literally just reached out to everybody I knew from all over the place. I've lived in over 20 houses, so I've moved a lot. And so I kind of just used my network, talked to everybody. And we had, like, I think over the summer, we had 10 different pro bono clients who were really just awesome, wonderful businesses. But, you know, from that, we also got some people who we found out were willing to pay us for our work. Mm-hmm. And from there, I kind of transitioned it like, oh, wait, I could be doing this same exact work, but getting paid. And, you know, I can really choose the people I want to work with, have a really strong team that's very close. And so that's sort of the direction I took it. And so that is current state today, but it was pretty interesting because I honestly didn't intend to start it. It really just became a thing, and now it's just something I enjoyed, and I'm grateful for the experience that I get to have that there. Yeah.
Wow. What?
Pretty wild.
Oh my gosh. All right, you heard it here, folks. Olivia's just blessed. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Wow. That's really awesome.
No, but I mean, like you say that, but it's really true. Like everyone, you know, I think when you're following your passion, like things will work out sometimes, but I know how lucky I am, you know, like that, you know, things don't always necessarily just work out. You know, I think that practicing gratitude for everything is super important still, you know?
Yeah. Like, wow. That's so real. Bro, I have gratitude for you. What in the world?
My God.
Oh, wow. No, that's so important. I think I want to underscore what you said about following your passions and things flowing a bit. Like, yeah it's kind of like what, again, Miss Universe wants from you. So, of course, things are going to work out. And so important that, like, people are seeing what you do and they believe in it. I feel like that also comes from having genuine energy and faith and passion behind your work, you know, because you can't fake that, and you can't, you know, you can attract clients and use all these tactics, but for it to happen pretty organically, that feels like really, I don't know, just really like homey and good to me. So.
Oh, yeah, it feels really good. I mean, another thing, though, too, that I always want to mention when I say this is, like, I've also been put in a position where I wasn't worrying about, like, to work during that period. Like, I had the space and the time, but I wasn't so concerned. So, you know, like, I think COVID was a very stressful time for a lot of people, especially at the beginning, because, like, you know, lost jobs, a lot of issues were coming up. And so I always also want to be mindful that, you know, like I know that that also contributed to my success, and so it's definitely something I'm grateful for. But also, you know, just I think it's important to point that out too, because I don't want, you know, I don't know, I think a lot of people will beat themselves up because they are having to do other work, or like, you know, they're having to work many part-time jobs and don't have the energy. I think that's a problem, you know. I think we always say this, but then we forget to kind of mention, like, oh, and I totally have the space and support to do this. You know?
Yeah, that's so real. And that's actually a perfect segue. Because yes, like, entrepreneurship is a lot of work.
Okay. For sure. It's awesome, but it's so much.
It's literally so much. Like, yes, I can set my schedule, but also, oh my God.
No, 100%.
With burnout. Well, let's not call it burnout, but how do you keep yourself motivated when, you know, you do have support, right? But there is just always something to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point too. Like, for burnout for me, I went through a period of time where I had just like intense burnout. So I was a very classic WashU student, bajillion extracurriculars and like, you know, 18 credits load, which was too much for me. And I really learned my lesson there that like, I should not overcommit. Mm-hmm. It was a huge learning for me. And so after like sort of like a hell semester, I kind of got into the practice of really prioritizing. So, you know, I try to journal every week to figure out what my priorities are, how mm-hmm. much I can handle, you know, check in with myself to make sure that I'm feeling good about what I'm doing. But then also, you know, using the other tools I have in my tool set, like meditation, you know, like some quality time with friends, I think is another thing that helped me avoid it, because I have a lot of people who I'm really grateful for in my life who will remind me, like, oh, like, here's, you know, like they just remind me to look at what I'm doing and make sure that it's not miserable with what I'm doing, so that I can, like, you know, really prioritize to be doing the least work with the most impact for what it is I want to do and what goals I want to achieve.
Yeah. That's so real. Oh, so basically, you have your self-care practices that you use.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Self-care, huge. Massive.
Also, you delegate.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think that's probably the biggest thing, too, is, asking other people to do things. Because, I have limited capacity, and I know that, which I think most people, everybody has limited capacity. We can't all do everything. See, I say this because, my mom, I've always seen her. She can just do a bajillion things, it's insane. You've never seen anyone work like her. So she can just sleep 2 hours a night and then just fix an entire country. It's great.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to be your mom, but no.
Oh, I know. I'm trying to be my mom. Actually, no, I'm not, because there's no way. I'm not putting that pressure on myself.
But right.
That's another thing too, is that I don't put my expectations as I have to be the best, because everyone, there's always someone better than you, and yes, always someone who's harder than you, but at the end of the day, you have to just do what makes you happy and what you want.
Wow. Listeners, Olivia is the reason that I hired someone for Working Within,
which is amazing. I'm so excited for you. It's so cool to see you doing your work. I'm just huge. I'm a huge fan.
All right, I'm a huge fan, okay, of you. All right, thank you. But no, seriously, Olivia and I started setting up chats after that panel introduction, and she's talking about how she's having to have host meetings with people she's working with, and I'm like, oh, does that mean I need to, I was like, oh yeah, that might help me, because I definitely was bottlenecking myself for a period of time. It took some months to realize, okay, dude, you're trying to do too much. Get some help. Just get some freaking help.
Yeah. What did you do to get that help after you came to that realization?
Well, I just made some pretty Canva flyers. No.
I mean, honestly, that's first step.
No, literally. So I had to figure out what I would need, explicit activities I needed help with. And it's so funny you ask that, because now it feels like a blur, like a dream. Because that was in the beginning of May. No, it was toward the end of April. And now, with the help of Micah, who you all will have met on the podcast already, she has, just taken Working Within and just helped it in so many ways, and is managing social media and helping with ideas and making the vision and just in believing in its success. That's a huge part of team dynamics too. So,
oh yeah, huge.
Yeah, it's just been so good.
God bless the Micahs of the world who come on and they're bringing their passion and their motivation to, I love, because the thing is, it's amazing to have your own project, but working on someone else's project with huge passion and really bringing the energy is just as amazing.
Exactly. Ever since the interview, I knew. So grateful. And again, literally learning from you. And that's why you're on this show, because listeners need to hear it.
I'm so honored. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going on the show. This is so cool.
You're literally going on the show. That's exactly what's happening. All right. What are some of the challenges you faced being a woman interested in tech, business, having her own thing going?
Yeah, I think, definitely overextending myself and thinking I should do everything and had to be good at everything I did was probably, overdoing it level and putting the pressure on myself to, people please was something I really struggled with initially. I think less so once I started, Kooliana, just because I think the reason I was able to start it in the first place was actually because I had done a lot of therapy and worked through a lot of my own issues. And I was finally in a place where I was solid enough that I wasn't looking for external validation. I wasn't sort of following a lot of these negative patterns of things that I'd grown up with. Mm-hmm. And I think that was sort of the key there. But I've been very fortunate in that a lot of my mentors have been just extraordinarily supportive of me, and they've been conscious of the fact that I've been female, but only in the sense that they are aware that maybe that's something that they need to, help give me that extra push.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I haven't had too many people place a lot of expectations on me that were negative. I think it's been more my own internal ways that I think people see me, or the ways that I think people are expecting me, because, you know, we are all always raised with like gender expectations. So it's more the internal narrative that's been harmful rather than, I think, like external forces, if you will.
Bro, those internal narratives.
Oh God. It's a thing. Cause you just get raised with it. You know, it's just, yeah. It's always, and there's like, you have to like pick that apart and then question everything you're doing. And it's like, oh my God.
And it can become such a cozy voice, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I struggle with that a lot for, yeah. Yeah, no, therapy is so real, bro. Because when she told me that I could name my thoughts, like give my thoughts a different name to help me remove myself from them. Mm-hmm. For instance, like, Nicole is freaking out about this thing, is saying you're going to fail. You know what I mean? Like,
love that, though. That's great.
Revolutionary. I'm like, oh, I can control my thoughts. Like, that was the first breakthrough I had in therapy.
Oh, no, I mean, like, no, 100%. Like, it's so crazy because we, I think so unconsciously, you know, we go through our lives just like letting our brains take over, mm-hmm. without like being, you know, a bit more conscious of, okay, what's actually going on? What are we thinking? What, like, how are we feeling? What are we thinking about how we're feeling? Like, you know, when we're really able to identify what it is that's actually going on up in our heads, it's like, oh my God, how did I not, you know, how have I been letting myself even just like have this negative self-talk or like, you know, have this negative self-view when it's just so, like, it's not based in
anything.
Truth.
Anything.
Yeah, anything. Right? Because, like, everyone has their issues, right? Mm-hmm. I don't get all perfect, but, like, you know, the level of, like, just, like, there can be so much internal dislike that you don't realize you've internalized until, yeah. you, like, oh, my God, that's a negative thought pattern. I need to stop that.
Literally. Oh, my gosh. No, you're exactly right. Like, man, and it gets me at work even these days, you know, and it's just, anyway. Moral of the story, I'm grateful for therapy, and that's so real. I mean, internalized depression is something we also talk about at work a lot, you know, not speaking up when you have a chance to, because you're telling yourself, based on the stories you've received, you know, some time ago, that these things are not meant for you, they're not allowed for you, you can't do them. And that's something, a message I definitely struggled with for a while, but now, look.
You got
as now, like, I am an entrepreneur, will be multi-entrepreneur, like, I'm claiming all of that. So anyway,
yes, I love it. Oh my gosh.
So can you tell, like, what visions do you have for yourself? And they don't even need to be entrepreneurial focused, but just, you know, in the theme of taking claim of your life, like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think for one thing, I don't want all my income to have to come from like my job. Like, so I haven't quite decided yet what it is I really want to do just post college. I mean, obviously, I'm always going to do multiple things. It's not the, like, you know, I'm going to keep fully on a, you know, I'm also really interested in real estate. So hopefully, like, you know, more real estate investment will be like something that I do to like make money. And like, I you know, I'm really interested in like working to make a life where work is more optional.
Yeah.
I think that's my vision. Like, obviously, I, like, listen, I love working. I, like, I'm really into, like, problem solving and learning new things. And I think that it's so exciting that, you know, there's so much that can be done and that can be worked on, mm-hmm. Like, in existence. So, you know, that's something that I'm always, I think, going to do. It's not as though I want to not work. But it's just that I don't want to do work that I find meaningless, and I don't want to do work that makes me miserable.
Yeah.
I think those are two of the big things for me. And so I think just like finding, you know, things that I feel rewarded by, always have multiple projects on so I don't feel sort of bored or not being intellectually stimulated. And then just like overall vision is just like spend the most time with friends and family, because at the end of the day, like, you know, nobody wishes that they spent 10 more hours a week in the office. Like, they wish that, you know, I mean, it's cliche, but it's like they wish they'd been with the people they cared about more. And so for me, that's something I just always want to have as a priority.
Oh my gosh. And I feel like you've had these values, like, where did these values come from? And like, when did you start to like think, you know, you're thinking, I respect you so much because I think you have really alternative perspective to like mass, to the mass, and have had that perspective way earlier than I had it for myself. And so how do you have these values that like are like, hey, actually, I want to, you know, work to make a life and actually multiple streams of income and also Like, I'm totally fine working for myself while being a college student. Like, what?
Oh, it was 100% my mom who adopted me. So when I was 15, my mom, she adopted me. And so but my dad's my biological dad, and they got married and everything. But she is my absolute best friend. And I think she has really just raised me in a way where she's like, okay, look critically at your life. Like, why are you doing what you're doing? Like, you know, like how, like, you know, just like sort of taught me to both question everything, but also experience everything fully. And like really look into, you know, why I'm doing something. And like, for example, she's like, okay, like you want to go to business school. Why do you want to go to business school? Just start a business. You're going to learn more. And like, why don't you ask for the capital that would go into your business and instead, you know, invest that in your own project? Because realistically, you know, what are you learning from college? Right. And so like kind of having that sort of, like, I think that kind of narrative always around, you know, especially in later high school, what, and, you know, my whole college career was definitely a driving force of how I view things. And then I'd also actually say one of my exes was like really huge in helping me realize how much I need to prioritize friends and family. Because that was something where, you know, that was a person who really helped like understand that I would overextend myself. I would do too much and wouldn't be happy. And that wasn't something I should, like, I just don't want to live my life that way.
Yeah.
You know, I think that for me, like having someone there to be like, yo, like you're doing this and not supporting your growth. That was huge. So the people in my life, that is how I realized it. Cause I'm not naturally like a very different thinker. I guess you could say like, I've been raised around a lot of people who are very independent thinking and like who, you know, aren't maybe as traditional. Like, I honestly, like, I don't know anyone in my family who has like a real traditional career path. You don't have any doctors or lawyers or whatever, I guess my mom, but like still very like different. But I think it really is the people around me being so sort of like independent and individual and unique that's gotten me how I am. So very much a product of my environment, not independently creative, let's be like that.
all right, still, that's amazing. And it's what my problem with this is, why does everyone have to have like a reckoning at Wash U, you know, where they like hit rock bottom because they're overextended? And, like,
it's like, it's so real. It's so funny you say that.
Everyone has it. Like, I remember I had mine and like it changed my life for the better, but dang, you know, like, oh my God.
What's happening? I mean, maybe it's the age, but I feel like it's also the environment a little bit as well.
Oh, it's totally the environment. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's a lot of like, do you want to do consulting or investment banking? And these are the options. And it's like, oh, okay. Yes. Maybe there's other things out there.
Literally. And that has been what I've been most grateful for thinking about more post-college, is just the space to think for yourself.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. What would you say like inspired you to start thinking in a way that's just a little bit more outside the box? Because I feel like that's something that, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of our, like, the people we know are not really going in that direction. So I'm really curious actually to hear from your side too.
Oh yeah. Well, basically I had a spiritual awakening. Well, I'm kind of playing, but like not really.
I mean, honestly, sometimes that's just how it is.
No, literally what happened was yoga started changing my life. Yeah. And with yoga, it's really about your mind, and you know, the poses come second, the poses help, but I had like become a mind warrior through my yoga practice deepening, me going through yoga training, and a big tenet of yoga, and there are plenty of big tenets, and I don't even posture myself to be any master of yoga at all, because there's so much, it's such an expansive field. Yeah. One of the tenets is about detachment and about being present. And just, you know, realizing that like kind of nothing matters. And I know that sounds a bit like spiritual bypassing, but truly like that settled in for me as I got deeper into my yoga practice, and combine that with being like an astro fiend, combine that with being a tarot reader. I'm like, oh, there are like secrets out here that people are not tapping into, but like I have the secrets. So I think, that like, learning yoga, getting rid of my anxiety, which was a big limiting factor for me before that, and just seeing how astrology had panned out in my life in general, and like where my life could go given my placements, I just started to have a lot more faith with like all of my choices. Like starting working within, way more faith than I would have a year ago. And generally, I just feel that way about my life right now. Like, I just feel like I can take leaps a lot more now because I'm not worried, because I realize fear is something I can place, and yoga has taught me I can tame it. And also just like, you know, I always talk about Miss Universe, but I'm serious. You know what I mean? Like, my spirituality has literally helped ground me so much. It's given me so much faith, and it keeps me looking over the horizon. Like, there's so many possibilities, and I've just become way more optimistic about where my life can go. So
I love that. I love when people are using their spirituality in such a positive way, you know, because I grew up in very like hippie like communities a lot of the time as well. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes spirituality was not really placed in a way that made it so useful, but I love how you use it. You're like, okay, this is how I'm going to make myself a better person. Like, this is how I'm going to resolve my issues. I think that the applicability that you bring to that spiritual side is just so, like, I love that. I love it.
Thanks, bud. It's been some years. So yeah, and we're still going, because I gotta fix my attachment style next.
That's a whole thing. Like, it's just a whole thing.
It's so much for no reason.
I mean, it's real.
Right. Exactly. There's plenty of things. So I guess, how do you balance like being really focused on work and not? Like, what was the transition like from being really like, I have to do everything in the world, to I'm going to chill out a bit? Because I know so many people are on that journey, and even me sometimes too, I bounce back.
Yeah, no, I think it's honestly, I mean, I'm still figuring out exactly how to do it, because I tend to work in fits and spurts. So like, I will be super energized to do something, and then I'll be like, I have, you know, whatever. I'll be less motivated for mm-hmm. like a week, get back, you know? So I'm very much like on and off, I guess. So what I've tried to learn to do is sort of balance things accordingly to how I'm naturally wanting to work.
Mm-hmm.
Still working on this, because I'm not excellent at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big area where I need to grow a little bit more too, but like, definitely working around, you know, when I'm really on it and like really getting things done in those times. And then like, when I'm feeling more like, oh, I need to, you know, be more social this week, or oh, I need to be balancing a little bit more. I think that's like been something I try to do pretty consistently, but I'm not successful yet. But then also making at least one day a week, like Saturdays, I basically just said, like, I will not work on Saturdays. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's going on around me. Like, nothing is that important. And, you know, there should be no reason why I can't have one day a week where I don't do anything, yeah. Whether that's home, whatever. So I've been pretty good about that. Not perfect, but pretty good. And I think that, like, just setting that clear boundary for myself that, okay, you have rest time.
Mm.
And, like, you know, putting in my head, like, okay, Like I know I need a certain amount of rest each week, and I'm a very much an 8 hours a night kind of sleep person. Like, I need it. So just putting those boundaries, like, yo, I am lazy and need to sleep. And not even lazy in a bad
way. Not lazy.
Like, but it's not even like, yeah, because that's the thing. It's not like lazy necessarily, but like, it is, you know, I need a lot of rest. Like,
yeah.
I get tired easily. Like, I should really exercise more, because that would really fix my problem. But like, whatever, no. It's not happening right now. So, you know, just like planning around my needs is something that I had to become really conscious of. And I think, you know, I've always been very much like, I like to be comfortable,
mm-hmm.
Much that way. So like, leaning into that natural desire, has been very helpful. And just like, honestly, saying to myself, yeah, it's this whole thing.
No, that's so real. You're like an alchemist, you know, your energy. And so you do what's best for your energy at that moment.
Yeah, I try to, for sure.
I need to do that more, because, yeah, that's so real. Because my problem is, like, if I'm obsessed with something, I can just do it.
Yeah. No, totally. See, I wish I could, but I can't. I'll just be like, I'm tired, and then I get sick. So that's the thing.
Ooh,
If I'm doing something, like, that my body doesn't like, it just lets me, like, gets me sick. That's just how it goes. If it's more than 2 days of, like, doing something wrong or that doesn't feel good, I will get sick. And I will not be able to work. So maybe, I mean, to me, that's probably been kind of a blessing, because I have sort of that like capacity limit that's so clear,
mm-hmm.
that, okay, I see you. I listen to you. Like, I understand myself now. Yeah.
That is so real.
Yeah. It's pretty funny though. Like, my whole family, they're like, Olivia, you're like a Victorian child, just like always, like, can't be pushed too far, she'll get sick. And it's true, but I'm happy about it.
No, that's so real. Like, it took me forever to like get into my body. Shout out to yoga. But yeah, I get sick.
And even if it's not like sick, it's like, oh, I'm feeling really congested and headache.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, okay, this is something not good.
Right. Like, I need to rest more. No, my body. When I visited WashU for graduation, LOL, like, after I got back, I was sick for like a week.
No, really? Oh, my God. Honestly, though, I was sick for like a week after coming back from New York. Like, not sick. But like, no, because, you know, I mean, I was just so, I was very, like, I really leaned into my social side. Let's put it like
yes.
that. And then coming back, I think on the plane, like, I got 2 hours of sleep the night before coming back on the plane.
Oh, it was my just God. Like,
yeah, it was a nightmare. I'm not built for that. So it was really fun, but, you know, it's something I definitely cannot sustain or do all the time.
Bro, it resonates. Like, so more yeah. of the story, listeners, like, listen to your body, okay? Because it knows what it's saying. It literally knows what it's saying, and it knows, like, just listen. It's so much easier that way.
It is.
Well, Olivia, all right, this is the $1 million question, if there was one on the show today. Okay, are you ready?
Hit me. I'm ready.
What do you have to say to folks who are considering working for themselves or are considering making a bold, like, career move?
I say do it. Make sure that you have all of your systems in place so that you're going to be supported and you're going to be, you know, like, okay to do it. But once you've done the planning for it, like, go for it. You know, we all have, like, one life. I'd say don't be afraid to even side hustle things before you take them full time, too, because it's, like, starting something and producing something and getting over that first step is way more important than having something perfect. Like, don't worry about perfection. You know, you can always iterate. You can always change. And then also just another thing is that consistency is what will allow you to keep momentum and make something that you're really proud of. So figuring out what consistency looks like for you and you know, figuring out what self-care you need to do to make sure that consistency can be maintained. Mm. Like, that's like, I think, some of the most important stuff you can do, because it's incredible when you start a project, you get all this knowledge, you get to, like, you know, teach yourself new things. You get to really feel, I think, fulfilled in your work in a way it's very difficult to if you're working for someone else. Or when you're working, I mean, I guess not necessarily, because there are some jobs for sure that people feel very fulfilled by, but I think it is different when you're working on a very self-directed project. And so just, like, you know, when you're pursuing that, make sure that you're, like, you're covering your bases and you're not overextending yourself, but still, like, lean into those interests, because it, you know, at the end of the day, like, working is a lot of our lives. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Most of our time at work. And so thinking about that, like, you want to be happy, you want to be passionate and motivated by the thing you're spending most of your time doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if that isn't your day job, like, figuring out a path that can allow you to transition into something that will make you happy, like, just go for it. Because I think at the end of the day, we don't want to be, like, just don't spend your time miserable. Being miserable is not fun.
That's so real.
That's, like, what I got.
No, it's so real. Like, literally, like, if you know you're gonna hate the job, don't take the internship at me junior. Like, literally, don't do it.
It's almost never worth it too, because that's the thing, you can find something that's going to make you less miserable, you know? Like, yes. Don't look at, like, oh, well, the people around me are gonna think this about me if I'm gonna do this job. Like, no, don't do that. You're not gonna be happy. Think about yourself and what you want and what you really believe in, because at the end of the day, like, we don't want to, like, if you are spending 80% of your time hating your job, hating your life, hating everything about what you're doing, you are going to probably be unhappy.
Literally.
Line yourself up into, like, to be unhappy. That makes no sense. It's just not logical, and it's not worth it.
No, that's so, whew. And if you need to rehear that, hear it again, because there are so many miserable folks walking around, and I feel like all of us have the power to take our lives in our own hands, but, you know, it's about feeling that power to actually do it. So, listen to her.
Yeah, you got this. Because everyone's got this. Everyone has the capability inside them. And, like, you know, obviously it's important to cover your bases and make sure that, like, you have the financial and emotional support you need. But once you've got that, like, you know, feel like you can really do anything.
Exactly. It's all about your mind, bro. All right. Mic drop. If you need more important reading about your mind control, or how you can control your mind, I should say, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, y'all.
Oh my gosh. I just ordered that because I know you recommended it to me, and I was like going back through all my book recommendations that people have said, and I just ordered it. So I'm hoping I'm gonna get started. I'm really excited to read it though.
Bro, I need to reread it. Like, it's amazing. It changed my life. That was part of my spiritual awakening. I should have said that book too.
You know, actually, wait, I have some book recommendations too. So yes. One for me, more maybe spiritual, was The Four Agreements. I think that two of them were like, one was Do Your Best, like always. I thought that really resonated. But then it was also like, just be honest. I don't know. There's four. They were really good.
Yeah.
Just 100% reading it, like, really changed my mindset towards like doing stuff, which in a way that was like moral and that felt good to me and that was like in alignment with what I wanted. And then, okay, another one was The Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Like, to me, Stoicism, I love Stoicism. I think it's like, it's all about sort of like controlling your mind and like controlling how you react to things, because at the end of the day, we cannot control our environment, but we totally can control how we respond to our environment and what's going on. So that was a really interesting one. And then the final one, if anyone's at like WashU type schools, there's this book called Excellent Sheep, and it sort of discusses everything that's kind of wrong with those sorts of schools. Mm-hmm. I think that everyone who goes to one of those institutions should read it. One of the biggest takeaways I got from that one was being a good citizen, and a citizen is someone who is like constantly learning and doing things to make their society better, like, is much more rewarding than just like going into work for a bank and really caring about your life.
At me next time. No, I'm kidding.
like no shade. I have a lot of great friends who are honestly like wonderful people and really brilliant who are going to do the whole bank thing, and like, no, you know, like, no judgment on my side, but like, you know, just like, I would also say everyone should look at why they're doing things and what they're doing. So
yeah, exactly. The critical lens, that critical eye, like, wake up.
gotta take that criticism, because always criticizing yourself in a positive way, I think, is just good. You know, like, giving yourself that, like, okay, but why am I doing this? What do I want? You know, that's good.
Yeah, checking in, because those voices, they get us, man, because they're cozy voices, okay?
Cozy voice, you know, but it's not good cozy. It's a bad cozy.
Horrible. It's stagnant cozy. Stagnant.
No. Cozy. We hate a stagnant cozy.
Oh my gosh. Well, listeners, I hope you really settle in on what Livia's saying. Basically, we're just trying to tell you, like, you are in control of your life. You know, pick up the power wand, start drawing what you want, make it come to life. Literally, pretend we're like in a SpongeBob episode.
Yeah. I like, believe in yourself, because you got this. We've all got this. Like, you know, you can do it.
Yeah. I'm on my consistency wave right now. That's part of what you said. Like, yeah, it's so hard, but you just got to do it. Got to get to it.
Huge.
Oh man. Olivia, thank you so much. Listeners, say thank you, Olivia, so much for all the wisdom she dropped on the podcast episode today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy we could do this. So
of fun. Course, bro. Of course. We're gonna have to like do a whole speaker profile, but I can't wait to see, you know, what the listeners say. So make sure y'all, I will put Olivia's contact information and the way to access Kuleana in the episode description. Definitely feel free to reach out to her about with questions or about anything she said today. I'm sure she would love to engage with y'all, because she is a people person, community person. 100%. She's an Aquarius. Aquarius, but yes, and otherwise, we look forward to having your attention again next week. Thank y'all. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Working Within. We're ecstatic that you made it this far. If you liked what you heard, we'd really appreciate your reviews and shares. And if you want to become a monthly supporter, you can click the link in our episode description as well. As always, stay connected with us through our Instagram, working.within, and our website, workingwithin.net. We hope to see you again soon.